Tonight, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1. Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the privilege of being able to come into your house and to worship you tonight, Lord, and to call upon you to open up our hearts and minds that we might hear from you. And Lord, that you would reveal to us more about the salvation that you've given to each and every one of us. And so bless your word, bless your people tonight. May you be honored and glorified. And Lord, may we be drawn closer to you and strengthened in the faith and grace that you've given to us to be the witnesses you've called us to be. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message tonight is, Lord, Teach Us to Pray. That's a good lesson, isn't it? Lord, Teach Us to Pray. Or we can also call it the Lord's Doctrine of Prayer. The Lord's Doctrine of Prayer. Now, the word doctrine simply means teaching, right? The Lord's teaching about prayer. And so tonight we're going to consider four focal points of prayer that the Lord teaches to his disciples, four ways to zero in, and really the order is important also, and the Lord laid it out in a specific order, so we'll consider that. And the first thought is going to be the believers, the first focus is the believer toward God. That's the first focus that we'll see here. The second focus is going to be the believer toward others concerning prayer. And the third focus is God as a friend to the believer. And the last thought here will be God as a father to the believer. So four important focuses, if you will, on looking on how we pray. And so tonight as we consider this, I want to remind you of something. Great revival started with just a handful of people. The Great Awakening, if I'm not mistaken, started with six people. And so there's more than six here. And but it doesn't take much. It really doesn't. It takes God. Amen? That's what it takes. And that's a lot. And little is much when God is in it. Does God dwell each and every believer? Yes. He does, right? So we're all indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We thank the Lord for that. Do you want revival tonight? Yes. Do you want revival? Do you believe God wants to give us revival? That's important. He does want to give us revival. He does want his name honored and glorified. Get this, ready? God wants his name honored and glorified in your life and mine. Isn't that amazing? And it will take him to perform that. Isn't that exciting? And he wants to do that. And in the process of doing that, we are amazed. Do you know that there are many people like George Mueller and different individual missionaries that have a testimony of getting, they had such a prayer life that they knew people would come to them with their prayer requests because they knew that they get their prayers answered. And there was a situation, just tell you this quick little thing. George Mueller was traveling, I think it was across the Atlantic, and his wife did not travel well. This was back in the 1800s, so it was a ship that they would take. And so there was a special kind of a chair. I don't know what kind of a chair it was, but there was a special kind of a chair that they would use for people that got seasickness. And so he made that purchase, and the chair didn't show up. And so one of the fellows that were working on the ship said, "Listen, there's a shop that sells that same chair right down there on the docks there. If you will, go buy another chair because this other chair is no doubt not going to make it here in time." And George Mueller was already aware of the situation. He prayed, and God gave him peace and assurance that that chair would be there, right? And so he said, "Thank you, but no thank you. God will make sure. He told him, God will provide the chair." And the guy said, "Listen, I've been on ships. I've been working on ships. I don't know how many years. Your chair is not coming." So they're getting ready to disembark, and they're making all preparations for that. And you know what pulls up? This cart pulls up. You know what's on top of that cart? That chair. And do you know who God had deliver that chair? That very same fellow that said, "That chair's not coming." And so he said, he said, "I had to go up to him and say, you know, here's your chair." And you know what George Mueller did right there? "Thank you, Lord, for your great faithfulness." He didn't say, "I told you so." He said, "Thank you, God." What a humble heart.
Thank you. Glory be to God. Amen. Glory be to your name for your great faithfulness. And so there's many accounts of people, doesn't that warm your heart, that had such a close relationship with their God that they knew God was going to answer that prayer. And by the way, many children got saved. Many provisions were made for the orphanages. He ran 5,000 plus children and started with no orphans. And he reached out to the orphans and the people. Anyway, there's a wonderful story there about God's working through this man, George Mueller. But I want you to know, God wants to work in our lives as well. The question is, do we want that and do we believe, can we trust the Lord to do that? Now, it is His will to glorify Himself in your life and mine. And I think tonight we're going to see how that takes place. We can come up with all different kinds of ideas, but God says, I've already laid it out. If you'll just do what I've asked you to do, I'm going to show you. Do you have a need tonight? Do we have a need tonight? I do. You know what one of my needs are? Lord, for souls to be saved. Amen? Baptized and discipled here at Northwood Baptist Church. Does God want to honor and glorify that answer, that prayer? Absolutely He does. And so I'm going to ask you to join in with me and call upon the Lord every day that He would provide souls to be saved. George Mueller was responsible in praying many souls into eternal life, but there was one of his friends that he prayed for 63 years is the testimony. George Mueller prayed for, and you know what happened? He died. George Mueller died. Do you know what happened shortly, either right during his funeral or right after the funeral? That fella got saved. Amen. Everyone he prayed for to receive eternal life got saved. Amen? Tonight, I think we're going to see, there's no doubt in my mind, I know we're going to see the recipe for those things to take place if we will put our confidence not in the world, not in ourselves, but in who? In God. Amen. You knew the answer to that. That's wonderful. All right. So notice this. Let's look at the first two verses, and let's look at the believer's focus toward God. Verse 1 says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples to pray. Now we want to stop there just for a few moments and just zero in. Do you not think the disciples knew how to pray? They did know how to pray, but you know what they were saying specifically? Lord, show us how to pray the way that the disciples of John, why? Because they saw there was a difference between the way that they were praying and the way that the disciples of John were praying, and obviously they saw something that they knew Jesus knew about. You know what Jesus knew about? Jesus knew how to ask the Father for anything that was in the will of God and get those things. Amen? Listen. Jesus knew, did he not? Did not the Lord know how to call upon the Father? In fact, even before God gave the answer, he said, Lord, I know that you, remember when Lazarus was in the grave? Lord, I know that you hear me. Isn't that what he said? But so that these might know, he knew that Lazarus was going to raise from the dead. Why? Because he knew the will of the Father, and he was in sync with him, and so he was asking him for everything that God wanted done because he believed in God the Father. And so what happened? And by the way, he did it for a testimony so that the honor and glory would go to God, and people would believe that God answers prayer. And so God, listen, God doesn't want us to pray and not get anything. Amen? Is God the giver of all good gifts? Is it a good thing for souls to be saved? Amen. Is it a good thing for us to be delivered from our sins? Is it a good thing for us to live a life that glorifies the Lord by the power of God? Absolutely. So let's consider these ideas and these thoughts as we look at this. So he says, the disciple says, teach us to pray like them, Lord. We know how to pray. And by the way, listen, keep this thought in mind. You and I have prayed. I know we have prayed. We have prayed. But let's pray the way God wants us to so that we can see souls being saved. Amen? Let's just say this. Look, Lord, I need you to teach me, God. I need you to show me so that you can. Lord, I need you to change my prayer life so that it honors and glorifies you and that I might be encouraged by you answering my prayers. Lord, I want you to make a difference in my prayer life. We can all say, oh, I don't need this lesson. I already know it. I already know how to pray. But listen, I don't want to pray the same way. Amen? I want to pray a new way, and that new way is God's way to answer our prayers. Are you excited a little bit about this? All right, amen, amen. Let's get excited about what God has given to us. Look at verse 2. And he said unto them, when you pray, this is God's instruction. So when you pray, this is a good thing for you and I to do. Let's be students. Let's be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's hear what he has to say. And let's just say, you know what, Lord? I'm going to follow your directions. Have you ever gotten something to put together and you got directions? Oh my goodness, isn't that funny? I didn't even have to say anything. You know the story. You did it without the directions, and all of a sudden it didn't quite come together, and you had extra parts. And there's not supposed to be extra parts. And so if you really wanted to get it put back together, what did you have to do? You had to take it all apart again and go step by step. No one wants to read all those instructions, but if you don't read those instructions, you don't come out with what you're looking for. Amen? So Lord, we put something together here in our lives, but it just doesn't look like what you've got in mind. Amen? It just doesn't look like what you've planned out. So Lord, we're going to take it all apart. In fact, Lord, we're going to ask you to take it all apart and you show us. Amen? Let's follow his instructions. So notice what he says here. And he said unto them, when you pray, say this, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so in earth. Now, this is really just a model prayer. And we're not going to enshrine those words. It's not wrong to say those words. But I want you to get the idea of what he's really saying. You know what he's saying? The first thing you ought to do? Listen, praise God. That's what he's saying. He's saying the first thing you ought to do. See, we come to the Lord and we've got this whole big list. And sometimes prayer sessions just work out to be a discussion, right? We're just going to go rambling on and we're not praying. We're just talking and talking. Oh, what are we praying about? Oh, I don't know. Let's just talk. Oh my goodness, look, we've been here an hour. What have you done? Oh, we just talked. We're just talking, but we're not praying. We're just going rambling on and on and on, and we're missing out what God wants us to do. And so he says, if you really want to pray, if you really want to get it right, and let's not just try to take up time, let's meet with God. Amen? Let's get alone with the Lord. Lord, we want to know what you have to say. And so he says, say this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed or holy be thy name. Let's stop and say, Lord, you are the creator of everything. God, hallowed or holy be your name. Lord, you are my redeemer. Amen. Holy Amen. Be your name. Amen? Let me reflect on how holy. Let me just stop, Lord. In fact, Lord, bring me to the place to where I can see in my heart, in my mind, your great holiness. May I be like Isaiah and say, oh, woe is me, for I am a man of unclean lips. Because God has shown me his holiness and my unrighteousness. That's a good thing to see. Listen, may I enter into his presence with fear and trembling, because he's the one who creates everything. He is the one that everything is created for and on. And so he said, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Yes, Lord, your kingdom. Where? All over the world, but in me too. Amen? Thy kingdom come. We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to represent the Lord. Thy will be done, listen, as in heaven, so in earth. And the one person that we have control over that God can perform his will and his kingdom come is in our lives. All right? So that's our focus, really, or the believer's focus toward the Lord. The second focus is the believer toward others. Listen, this is the perfect order here. It doesn't have to be exactly like this, but this is the order. So notice what he says here. Give us day by day our bread. Did you get that? Lord, give me what I need. Amen. Not more, but give me what I need. And Lord, what do I need? What do I need more than anything else? Amen. We need the Lord. Oh, Lord, listen, didn't he say I'm the living bread? Praise the Lord. Didn't he say I'm the living bread?
Yes.
I'm the manna that came down from heaven?
Amen.
Lord, let me partake of you. Let me eat of you, Lord. Let me not be offended at that. Let me have you in me and me in you. Isn't that good? And so listen, isn't that a good place to start? holy is your name, and Lord, I need to partake of you so that you are in me and I am in you, right? And so we have to be aware of that. Listen, this is what brings revival. How do I know that? God is saying it. God is saying this. So notice what he's saying right here. And once we come to that place, Lord, give me what I need to sustain me. And we need the Lord more than anything physical. Amen. And then he says this, verse 4, and forgive us our sins. Yeah. That's a good thing. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. So listen, we have to willingly forgive other people, right? We have to willingly forgive them. Do you mean to tell me even if they've wronged us, you tell me? Amen? We do. And by the way, listen, I'll be honest with you and you be honest with me. I can't do that in my strength. How about you? Lord, help me to see them as you see me and as you see them. We've all been given mercy, Lord. And so, Lord, the mercy you've given to me, shall I hold it and squander it or should I give it? You see what I'm saying? Am I not the recipient? Are we not supposed to be channels? Right? I'm receiving your mercy, and so I give you mercy. You know what happens if I get the mercy of God and don't give mercy? We're going to stink. We're going to stop it up, and it's not going to be flowing. And it's what happens to the manna when they save it? Oh, it rots. It rots, see? So this is, listen, this is revival. This is how you, for yourself, can experience God the way he wants us to in a new and a powerful way. Let's not come to the place or the idea that, oh, I know all about this. Oh, no. Lord, listen, Peter walked with the Lord, and yet there were many things he misunderstood. Oh, Lord, if he did it and he was with you, me who had never seen you face to face, can I not do the same thing? Can I not miss something? Absolutely. So let's get everything from the Lord. Notice verse 4 again. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. All right? So that's the second focus, the believer towards others, right? Lord, help me not to sin against somebody else. And if they sin against me, Lord, let me channel that mercy as you've let it flow in through me. Let me distribute that, Lord. Oh Lord, you have forgiven me. Oh, can I not forgive you? Absolutely, Lord. Absolutely. Oh Lord, have you forgiven me? Oh, doesn't it feel good when the Lord forgives you? And listen, God puts it in the sea of forgetfulness and remembers it no more. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. God doesn't remember it anymore. And so we can't come up to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me for what he's already forgiven us. Sometimes we hold on to things and God has already, it's been forgiven.
That's right.
So let it go. And the best way to really walk in that truth is this is what stifles that. Ready? We don't give it out. We don't give it out. So because we're not giving out that mercy, we think God has not given us mercy. See, so we've got to keep that flow going, and then we know when we ask God for mercy and forgiveness, we get it. And we've been given it, and we don't have any doubt about it. All right, so that's the believer towards others. Now, the third focus is God is a friend to the believer. Notice verse 5. And he said unto them, is he still teaching them about prayer? Okay, he's still teaching them about prayer. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend? Right? So this is God as a friend to the believer. Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? Now, how would you like it if your friend, now you maybe have some different ideas if it was a stranger. You might be on guard if somebody comes up at midnight to your house knowing what in the world, you know, are they doing here. But if it's a friend at midnight, Now, they better be a good friend, amen? They better be a good friend. Hey, Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, amen? What a friend we have in Jesus. And so he says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now listen. Who's the friend? Who's the friend? Who's the friend? We are the friend. And who's our friend that we're going to at midnight? Jesus. Amen. Listen, don't lose that. Okay. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. We are asking God for the living bread. Amen. And notice verse 6. For a friend of mine is in his journey and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. If God doesn't give us, we have nothing. Listen, you have nothing to set before a lost and dying world, a lost and dying relative, a lost and dying loved one. You have nothing to set before them unless we get it from the Father. And so he says this, for a friend of mine, verse 6, is in his journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I want you to know this is God we're talking about. God is telling us right up front, you're going to knock, and I'm not going to answer right away. You know why? Well, God's always right. You know why? He's going to say, let's see what you really believe about me. See? Listen, George, remember I told you that little story about George Mueller? You know, what if that never happened? What if that chair just arrived and he got his chair? And what if God, listen, God held the delivering of that chair for his honor and glory. God, listen, George Mueller, it was already settled in his heart and mind that God was going to deliver it. And so George Mueller, by faith, said, listen, I am not going to go buy another one. God's already assured me it's on the way. And that whole event took place to the glory of God. And so likewise also, when we don't get the answer, that doesn't, listen, if you had a loved one on their deathbed and God would answer your prayer, are you going to stop when you don't get the first answer? Or are you going to keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking until God answers your prayer? See, how important is this to us? How important is the glory of God to us? Okay, so watch this. So he says, trouble me not. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. In other words, it's bedtime. I cannot rise and give thee. And then notice verse 8. I say unto you, who's telling this story? Jesus, amen? All right. So I say unto you, listen to this. Though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. Notice, he says, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now listen, you have to follow this. God doesn't do it for us. Listen to this. God does not do it for us just because we're his children. God does not do it for us because we're his friends and he's our friend. Listen to why he will do this. Ready? Look at verse 8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend. Did you get that? Just because you're a child of God, God says, I'm not gonna answer. I'm telling you up front Jesus is telling them up front how to pray. So watch this. Yet because of his importunity, that is an interesting word. That word is the only word in the whole Old New Testament that's like that. You won't find that anywhere else. It is Strong's word G335, and it means a persisting entreaty shamelessly. In other words, they are persistent, and they're not going to quit until they get it. But not because they're a friend, but because, please, I need it. Please, friend, I need this. Lord, I really want this. I really need this. You know, childlike faith. You ever have one of your children just say, please. They want something. And we maybe don't remember it, and then we give in. Because we can do it for them, and we will do it for them. And so now listen. It says, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many. Listen, did you hear that? As many as he needs. Isn't that good? And then the Lord says this. He says, and I say unto you. Now watch this. Listen. Ask and ye shall, and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. May I tell you something? Listen. God just gave us a recipe right there for what we need. And that is ask. Amen. Ask and seek. You ever stop to think about that? What does that mean? Well, if I ask and I believe the Lord's going to give it to me, I'm going to look for it. Isn't that what he said? Ask for what you need. Now start looking for it. But if I'm not looking for it, if I'm not expecting it, do you think that's faith? Oh, Lord, this is what I need. I don't think you'll do it. So am I looking for it?
No.
I'm not looking for it. But if I say, oh, Lord, I need you to deliver me today because I'm dealing with impatience, whatever, unkindness. And now you know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm going to look for it. I'm going to look for your long-suffering in me. Because I've asked you for it. And you're going to give it to me. I'm asking you for your kindness. I'm going to look for it in my life. I'm going to ask you for patience. I'm going to look for it. Not this idea, I'm going to ask you for patience. Oh, yeah, I'm going to blow it. Well, guess what's going to happen? We're going to blow it. Because that's what we're looking for, aren't we? That's what we're looking for. You know why we're looking for that? Because we don't believe God can do it. You know what we tell the Lord? Lord, I'm too big of a problem for you. Yeah, I'm too big of a problem. Are we? Oh my goodness, of course not. And so notice what happens here. Now watch, he does this twice in verses 9 and 10. And verse 9 again, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So listen, you ask God, I'm looking for it. Oh, look, Lord, I see it. I'm entering in. I'm entering into your promises. The door's opened. God's going to open it. Verse 10, notice again. For everyone, not most. For everyone. Are you everyone? Absolutely. Was that just for the disciples or is that for us today? All right. For everyone, and both. For everyone that asketh what? Do you believe that?
Yes.
I didn't say, do you believe your feelings? I said, do you believe God's word? Amen?
Yes,
that's how you got to do it. See, Lord, my faith is in who?
God.
In your word. So you're going to do it. Listen, this is the difference. Listen, tonight, let's take hold of the word of God and believe him and watch God turn the world upside down through little old Northwood Baptist Church in Columbia, Missouri. Man, I can get excited about that because God is faithful.
Amen.
Now, I could say, well, my goodness, he ain't done it in 30-some-odd years. He ain't going to do it today. And guess what's not going to happen? The blessings of God. Because I have no faith. Can God do something if I put my faith in him and believe it? Didn't he say it?
Yes.
All right. So he says this. So notice, he says, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh what? Twice. When God says something once, that's enough. But he said it twice in two verses. One right after the other. God wants us to get this idea. We are the friend coming to him at midnight. You ever wake up in the middle of the night somewhere? 12, 2, 3, can't go back to sleep? Pray. And I mentioned Sunday, and I'll just say this real quick. I mentioned Sunday, I said, you know, keep a prayer journal of your prayer journal time. Not your prayer journal time. And then I said, I made a mistake. I'm going to retract this. I said, well, don't count the time that you're praying in your car. No, count that time. You know why? Because that's real.
Right.
That's real prayer. So if you're in your car or you're taking a walk and you're going to pray, take note of the time. Okay, Lord, it's important. It's important because sometimes we think we're praying longer than we are. And we need to know, we need to take inventory so that we know where we're at in our prayer life. It's not, and by the way, listen, it's not because, oh, I'm going to pray for an hour that God hears us, because it has to be a genuine prayer to the Lord. And don't worry about the time. If it's 5 or 10 minutes, just note it down. Just know so that you can see how much time you're spending in prayer throughout the day and throughout the week. That's just for you. That's not for anybody else, but for you to be real with the Lord and for you to really see how much time you're spending in prayer. So at the altar, note down the time. As you pray throughout the day, if you can remember to notice the time. It doesn't have to be every time, but get an idea of how much time you're seeking the Lord, because that might be where the problem might be, all right? We might need to spend more time. We need to be more persistent, right? More persistent in our entreaties and not being shameful about it, shamelessly asking God, because that's what he said do. All right, so very quickly. So here it is. The last thought is the fourth focus is God as a father to the believer. Now listen to what he says here, verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father. Now in this picture, tell me, who's the father? God's the father. Isn't that something? You already knew that. Now watch this. And we are the children. Is God speaking this to you tonight and to me tonight?
Yes.
Is he directing us in how we should pursue the Lord?
Amen.
This is what he's doing. Don't let it just die right here. Listen, here's what the devil's going to do. Ready? As soon as you walk out the doors, the devil's going to take the good seed that has just been planted of the Word of God and pluck it out of our hearts. Because, listen, God wants to bless us. The devil fears prayer more than anything else. Listen, the devil doesn't mind us working for him as long as we're not praying, because we're powerless. Spin your little legs all day long. Spin your little brains and all your little ideas and keep doing all that. The devil's not afraid of that. He says, because he knows God won't bless that. Not like he would as if we stop and call upon him to empower our lives and for him to glorify himself. All right. So notice verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? That's a rhetorical question, isn't it? There's no need for that answer there. Of course you would, right? You'd give him bread. You wouldn't give him a stone. Or if he asked a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Of course the answer is no. We wouldn't do that. We would give him the fish. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Now listen here, and we're done. Verse 13. If ye then, that's us, being evil, that's what we are. Without the grace of, that's us. We're evil. That's our, come on. Let's just be real with the Lord. Lord, I am evil. I may not be the evilest person in the world, but I have wickedness in me without you. If he says, so if ye then, verse 13, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. Have you ever done that? Have you ever given good gifts to your children? And are we going to say God's not better than us? We need to be careful here. Now watch this. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, isn't God much more than we are? How much more, listen, shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them, and we are the them that ask him. We are the them. So tonight, do you want revival from the Lord? Do you want revival from God? Do you want to see something like we've never seen? I do. There's the recipe. Don't veer from it. Don't come up with our own ideas. Seek God in this and say, God, I am sticking to your word until you answer. Don't get in front of the Lord. Lord, you have promised. Oh, listen. The flesh is going to go. The flesh is going to go. I can do it. I can. No. God, you do it. See, that's what it means to wait upon the Lord. It doesn't mean don't do anything. It means seek him his way. We want to get out in front of the Lord. Isn't that what Peter was always trying to do? Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let's make three tabernacles here. One for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses, and God had to straighten them out, the Father from heaven. You know what God the Father told Peter? This is my beloved Son, hear him. And then Peter was shaking in his boots. And we got so many grandiose ideas, and God says, listen to my son. Listen to what he just told you to do. And stick to that and prove him in that. And stick to that and don't let the devil, your flesh, or the world move you from the word of God.
Amen.
Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your will. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for your great holiness and your great love that you have for each and every one of us and your great desire for each and every one of us to experience you and your grace in a great and mighty way in our own lives. And Lord, answers to prayers like we've never seen before if we will just pursue you and what you've given to us in your word and nothing else. Lord, instill that in our hearts and minds and bless as we break off for prayer. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.